Ladies and gentlemen, the following contest is scheduled for your listening pleasure. Making his way to the ring, your host of the Turnbuckle Topics Podcast, he is Pat Dineen.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Turnbuckle Topics Podcast. I am your host, Pat Dineen, and this is my preview and predictions episode for NXT War Games. Shall I say NXT 2.0 War Games? You know, ever since, what's it been, two, maybe 3 months since they've rebranded NXT, and it shows in every which way. Not for the better, and I think we all know that. If you were a big fan of the NXT Black and Gold, as was I, and most of the diehard NXT or pro wrestling or WWE fans, whatever you may call it, ran by Triple H, he did a fantastic job the last six, seven, maybe even 8 years building up the NXT brand. Incredible. It went from a developmental system to, honestly, the hottest show in WWE for quite some time. More so than a Raw or a SmackDown, because consistently, week in, week out, even when you only had that 1 hour on the WWE network prior to the move to USA, which I don't think was for the better, adding that second additional hour, you got great pro wrestling. You know, there wasn't these ridiculous skits or segments. They got in there and they made it happen. It helped the likes of a Sasha Banks, a Charlotte Flair, obviously Kevin Owens coming up through the ranks, Seth Rollins, obviously Reigns came from there, Nakamura. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And those are just the people that are presently employed by WWE. Obviously, there was a whole hell of a lot more that were from NXT and unfortunately have been let go. Even most recently, you want to talk about the Karrion Crosses, the Keith Lees, and so on and so forth. And they just were horribly underutilized or repackaged on Raw or SmackDown terribly. And now that Vince and company is in charge of NXT 2.0, it's obvious it's not for the better. It's really not. Yeah, you know, NXT 2.0 still has some good wrestling here and there. Yes, they've added a lot of younger, newer talent to the roster, some of which is good to see. You know, Bron Breakker, Carmelo Hayes, Cora Jade, who is on the women's War Games team. You know, there's great talent. But again, you know, it's not just the talent being brought on. It's how they're being utilized. And I feel like it's out with the old, in with the new, but completely, because you're going to see the old school versus the new school NXT. And as much as I'm looking forward to this pay-per-view, it's almost as if it's like a send-off. Like the last time, honestly, you may even see certain people from the old NXT on this NXT programming. You probably won't see Johnny Gargano again. You know, his contract was up December 3rd. I believe he signed an additional week, similar to what Adam Cole did for the last takeover. And they stayed so they could make it through the pay-per-view. And then after that, bye-bye. So we're going to go through all of that. All five matches that are slated for tonight's War Games card. And although the weekly programming hasn't been anything to write home about, this pay-per-view is looking to be pretty good. So before I get to my predictions, I want to get to a little bit of history from the War Games and how it came about. So the War Games match itself, thanks to Wikipedia, although I did know this, but I don't want to get anything wrong as far as names, dates, etc. The War Games match is a match used originally in the NWA, National Wrestling Alliance, and later held annually in WCW, World Championship Wrestling, usually at their Fall Brawl pay-per-view in September. Dusty Rhodes is cited with coming up with the idea. The match usually involves two teams of either four or five, which we've seen NXT for the last 4 years, this being the fifth version of their War Games tonight, with the four men or women on either side, locked inside a steel cage that encompassed two rings. Now, Dusty Rhodes came up with this concept from the Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome which is a 1985 Australian post-apocalyptic dystopian action film directed by George Miller. So not to be confused with the WWE Thunderdome we saw the past year, but that is where Dusty came up with the idea. Now, the first War Games match took place at the Omni in Atlanta during the NWA's Great American Bash. We saw that this past summer in NXT. They've been using a lot of WCW-themed pay-per-views. The Great American Bash, Halloween Havoc, now, of course, War Games, which wasn't a pay-per-view unto itself, but as they mentioned, it was part of a Fall Brawl or the Great American Bash, etc. So, at the Omni in Atlanta during NWA's Great American Bash 87 tour, where it was known as War Games, The Match Beyond, again, dating back to the Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome part, where Dusty gained the concept for it. It would be held at three house shows later that year, once at the Miami Orange Bowl, once in Chicago at the UIC Pavilion, and the other at the NWA's debut at the Nassau Coliseum on Long Island. The next year, it would be held during the Great American Bash Tour in 88 at 11 house shows. And the final War Games matches under the NWA banner were at the Great American Bash in 89. Then it was used for WCW in 91, Great American Bash, I believe, and 92. And then it became a tradition at the Fall Brawl from 93 to 98. So that's a little history on that. As I mentioned before, the Great American Bash, also originally with WCW, founded by NWA, actually, then WCW, it rolled into that. anywho, yet again, created by Dusty Rhodes, it was established in 1985 and was originally produced by NWA's Jim Crockett Promotions. It's broadcast on a closed circuit television, on closed circuit TV, rather. In 88, it began broadcasting on pay-per-view. Later that same year, Jim Crockett Promotions rebranded as World Championship Wrestling. And then we got to see the Great American Bash once WWF purchased WCW. We got to see that pay-per-view a couple of times, I believe in 2004, 2006, and 2007, if I'm not mistaken. And last but certainly not least, talking about WCW pay-per-views that ended up in WWE somehow, most notably Halloween Havoc, which we saw for the second time by NXT 2 months ago, we saw. And that was initially brought upon by WCW from 1989 until 2000. And then we saw for the first time just last October. So that's a little WCW history that fell into WWE. And I'm glad to see that WWE or NXT is using it in some capacity, because there's a whole lot of nostalgia there. And just hearing those names makes me want to tune in, you know, hearing War Games or the Great American Bash or Halloween Havoc, even if I'm not watching the daily or weekly programming, kind of ropes me in to see, oh, hey, you know, I may not know about a lot of this guy or this gal, but there is a War Games match next weekend and I want to see it. It really takes me back to better days, exciting days, and growing up and learning about the whole world of professional wrestling. So, yeah, so that's a little history on that. I'm going to go over, you know, before I get to my picks, before I get to my predictions, let's just talk about a little history dating back to, I don't know, at least I'm not going to go back to the War Games matches in Fall Brawl, Great American Bash, and WCW, but the least we could do is go back to the last 4 years of War Games in NXT that we got to see. Let's go over a couple of the cards there, right? So the first ever War Games in November of 2017, we got to see Ruby Riott, who defeated Sonya Deville, got to see a singles match for WWE's United Kingdom Championship, where Pete Dunne retained by defeating Johnny Gargano. Lars Sullivan defeated Cassius Ohno. Aleister Black defeated Velveteen Dream. It's just so crazy hearing all these names. It feels like yesterday all of these guys were literally with the company, guys and gals. And what, I don't know, five of the names that I just rung off are no longer even with the company, two of which are now AEW. The fifth match for that night was a fatal four-way match for the vacant NXT Women's Championship. I believe that was when Asuka was pulled up the Raw, and so she vacated that title. We saw Ember Moon defeat Kairi Sane, Nikki Cross, and Peyton Royce. Following that, we had Andrade Cien Almas with Zelina Vega, of course, defeating Drew McIntyre in a NXT championship match. That's where I defeated Drew for Drew's NXT championship, and Andrade became the new champion. And the seventh and final match for the first ever NXT War Games, we got to see the Undisputed Era, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly, and Bobby Fish defeat the Authors of Pain, Akam, Rezar, and Roderick Strong. And the third team in that match was Sanity, Alexander Wolf, Eric Young, and Killian Dane. So like I said, it's just so crazy naming all the – this was only 4 years ago, folks, and more than half of these people are no longer employed by WWE. It's pretty amazing. 2018, we got to see Keith Lee in a match defeating Fidel Bravo. Does not ring a bell. Not even sure if that match actually even took place. Not even seeing a time next to that. Lars Sullivan defeated Keita Murray. Nikki Cross defeats Candice LeRae. Matt Riddle defeated Cassius Ohno. We got 2 out of 3 falls match for the NXT Women's Championship. We saw Shayna Baszler, who was the champion at the time, defeat Kairi Sane 2-1. Then we had Aleister Black going up against Johnny Gargano, where he got the victory. Black got the victory. Then we had a singles match for the NXT Championship at the time. Ciampa was the champion, and he retained, defeating the Velveteen Dream. So in the eighth and final match for the 2018 NXT War Games, we had Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and the War Raiders, now the Viking Raiders. They defeated the Undisputed Era, Cole, Fish, O'Reilly, and Strong. That match went nearly almost 50 minutes, actually. Wow. Compare that to the first War Games match, at least the men's, was about 37 minutes. Dating back to that. Now we have the 2019 NXT War Games. First matchup, we had Angel Garza defeated Isaiah Swerve Scott. Scott, as we all know, was recently released, member of Hit Row. Then we had the women's War Games match. Team Ripley, Rhea Ripley, Candice LeRae, Tegan Nox, and Dakota Kai. I think we all remember this is when, and she's been a heel ever since, this is when Dakota Kai turned on her longtime friend, Tegan Nox, again. If I had a dollar for every time I said release, I'd have tons of money flying around the studio right now. Tegan Nox was just released as well in that most recent group of cuts as along Hit Row's Swerve Scott. But anyway, that was a hell of a turn. I remember Dakota Kai had basically beat the living hell out of Tegan Nox in the cage where they let you out to go into the ring. And that was messy. However, nonetheless, Team Ripley did get the win. They defeated Team Baszler, which was Shayna Baszler, Bianca Belair, Io Shirai, and Kaylee Ray. Kaylee Ray will be taking part in the women's War Games match this year. However, she'll be part of the Faces now that she recently has become a good guy or a good gal. Now, in that third matchup, we had a triple threat to determine the number one contender for the NXT Championship at Survivor Series. If you remember, 2019 was the three-part Survivor Series where NXT invaded. We had them, SmackDown, and Raw, which was, in my opinion, the last great Survivor Series. The last two have been, Anyway, we had Pete Dunne getting the win over Damian Priest and Killian Dane. I recall that being a great match that went about 20 minutes or so. Match 4, Finn Balor defeated Matt Riddle. Then in match 5, we had Team Ciampa, which consisted of Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Dominik Dijakovic, also known as T-Bar, and Kevin Owens, who went on to defeat the Undisputed Era. Now this, I believe, takes me to the 2020 War Games, of course, last year's event. We had match 1. Legado del Fantasma in this 6-man tag team match went on to defeat August Gray, Kurt Stallion, and Ashante the Adonis, all of which in the team in the losing effort, I believe all three have been let go throughout the course of 2021. Not saying it to be a dick, just saying it because it just brings back memories. I do know August Gray's doing his thing. Anthony Green on the indies. I'm not sure if he signed at AEW. I know I've seen him on AEW television recently. Ashante the Adonis, also a member of Hit Row, and Kurt Stallion, if I'm not mistaken, was on the 205 Live roster, possibly NXT as well. So we had the Women's War Games match where Team Candice, Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez, and Toni Storm went on to defeat team of Team Shotzi, which was Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, Rhea Ripley, and Io Shirai, which is honestly both great teams, really. But that that Team Shotzi was really stacked there. We had Tommaso Ciampa in a singles match who went on to defeat Timothy Thatcher. That was a knockdown dragout brawl, from what I recall. Those two had quite a feud. You know, Thatcher is nothing special as far as excitement's concerned, but he does the damn thing, and they went on to have a pretty good tag team run throughout, what, late 2020, early 2021. I thought they were going to become tag team champions, honestly, at one point, but that never ended up being the case. Match four, we had a strap match. Dexter Lumis went on to defeat Cameron Grimes by submission. Match five, we had a triple threat match for the NXT North American Championship, where Johnny Gargano went on to defeat then champion Leon Ruff and Damian Priest. Then in the sixth and final matchup for the night, this match went, I think, 45 minutes even. We had the Undisputed Era. You know, had I known a year later that not only would the Undisputed Era be no more, but that two of the members aren't even with them anymore, being Cole and Fish, now members of AEW, and probably seeing Kyle O'Reilly be leaving any day soon. I'm not sure when his contract's up. I know it's within the coming months. O'Reilly, I'd be completely surprised if he does not go to AEW, joining Cole and Fish. But yeah, long story short, to say potentially, you know, two of them gone and a third on his way out of there. But the good thing is they went on to defeat Team McAfee, which is Pat McAfee, Pete Dunne, Danny Burch, and Oney Lorcan. So yeah, those were the last four NXT War Games that took place. And now why don't we go and get to NXT War Games 2021. Now this, you could call it the old school versus the new school. You could call it Team Black and Gold versus 2.0. Because not all the matches, but most of them are the old school versus the new school. So let's start with the women's War Games match. We got the team of Raquel Gonzalez, Io Shirai, Cora Jade, and Kaylee Ray going up against Toxic Attraction. They are champions all across. NXT Women's Champion Mandy Rose and the Women's Tag Team Champions from NXT, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. However, this is interesting because the fourth member of their team, obviously this is a team of heels, but the fourth and final member is Dakota Kai. So, you know, it gets a little tricky. The men's is clearly, distinctly Black and Gold versus 2.0. But this, it's a little bit of old and new school, because you could even say Mandy Rose is old school too, because although she just came back from Raw and SmackDown, she was originally NXT, you know, what, 2016, 2017, for being called up to Raw that fall. So anyway, that is both teams. And yeah, I got to go with, you know, personally, I'm pulling for Raquel Gonzalez and company, Shirai, Jade, and Kaylee Ray. I think they're going to do some damage, but I think when all is said and done, you know, Vince and company is really big on Toxic Attraction as a whole. As you see, 2.0 has been around not even 3 months. All three of the members are champions. You know, I think that's what it really boils down to. They're all about the whole sex appeal, and that's what they seem to be going for, a little bit more of a rough around the edges. I don't know, just trying to appeal to the, you know, a certain demographic. So I do feel that Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai will get the win. They're going to win plain and simple. Match two, we have a hair versus hair match. Cameron Grimes versus Duke Hudson. You know, I was leaning towards Duke Hudson initially. However, I do think that Cameron Grimes will get the job done. And yeah, that's it. You know, even though Grimes has more hair, and though I got to say, the last couple weeks, Grimes has been sporting the new look. I believe Hudson initially clipped his hair at some point and he had to take a couple inches off. I kind of like this more of a semi-clean cut Cameron Grimes. So for that unto itself, I'm kind of hoping that he wins so he can maintain this look. You know, Duke Hudson, he's already got short hair, you know, a fresh baldy, or taking it down to a one or a two wouldn't be the worst thing in the world either. Personally, I think even though he's very clean cut, I think Hudson getting this haircut would make him even look more so of a badass. And I think it could actually only help his image. So that's my take on that. Match three, we have the NXT Tag Team Championships on the line, where we have champions Imperium, Fabian Aichner and Marcel Barthel, versus Kyle O'Reilly and Von Wagner. This really can go either way. It really can. Being that maybe they'll put some gold on Kyle O'Reilly, this would make him, what, a 3 or 4-time NXT Tag Team Champion. And I think they're, you know, Vince and company are very big on Von Wagner. He has the look, a big man. He's not quite there yet, but he has the potential in a year or two to really be somebody in this company. And I don't know. They may be trying to lure, you know, Kyle O'Reilly to stay. You know, he hasn't signed a contract as far as I'm concerned to stay with NXT or WWE, et cetera. With his contract coming up in the very near future, you know, giving him some gold may, I don't know, may sway him, at least in their minds. But as much as I want to say O'Reilly and Von Wagner, Imperium is just way too good. Actually, never mind that. They are too great of a tag team to lose this match, regardless of the efforts put forth of a Kyle O'Reilly and a Von Wagner. So when all is said and done, I got to go with Imperium. Final answer. They're going to retain their tag team championships. And that'll be that. Now, going from O'Reilly, going to another former member of the Undisputed Era, we're going to see the Cruiserweight Champion of NXT, the Diamond Mine's very own Roderick Strong, who is the champion, going up against Joe Gacy. I do think, you know, as much as I really do like Roderick Strong here, I'm a big Roderick Strong fan. Met the guy. He's awesome. That's besides the point, though. I got to go with Joe Gacy. I'm not quite sure where they're going with his character, his gimmick. You know, he's came off as a Mr. Nice Guy, give everybody a chance, world peace type of deal. But I don't know. I feel like he's going to kind of have – I don't know if he's going to turn heel necessarily, but I don't – he's got Harland by his side. Also known as Parker Bordeaux or Bordeaux, however you pronounce his last name. So they've got a weird thing going on there, but I am curious as to where they are going to go with it. So I do see Roderick Strong dropping 100% your new NXT Cruiserweight Champion, Joe Gacy. So as far as I'm concerned, last I checked, for tonight's NXT War Games, there's only 5 matches, so that would take me to the 5th and final match, which is the men's War Games match. And I got to say that this is the match that I am looking forward to the most, without a shadow of a doubt. Team Black and Gold going up against Team 2.0. Again, as I said before, this is the one match where it strictly is the old school Black and Gold versus the new school Team 2.0. The old school Triple H's Black and Gold versus the new school Team 2.0's presented by Vince McMahon and company. Now, my heart, you know, my heart of hearts is saying, you know, Team Black and Gold all day. This could be the very last time we see Johnny Gargano on NXT television. As far as I recall, his contract was up just the other day. Friday, December 3rd, I believe his contract was initially up. He extended it for one more week to take him through this pay-per-view, and I don't know if we would even see him this Tuesday. He would be eligible to be on TV, but not sure if they would actually use him, if this is it for him. Similar to Adam Cole, when he went up against O'Reilly in that final bout at the last takeover that had taken place, O'Reilly's contract had been up prior to that takeover, but he signed an additional week that would take him through at least to that one more match right before the 2.0 era had begun. It was still the Black and Gold, of course, and that was that. So, you know, we got Team Black and Gold, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, Pete Dunne, and LA Knight going up against Team 2.0's Bron Breakker, NXT North American Champion Carmelo Hayes, Grayson Waller, and Tony D'Angelo with Trick Williams ringside. Again, my heart is with Team Black and Gold, but I have to be honest, I think that for the vision and the future of NXT unto itself, again, it's a completely whole new ballgame, new logo, new colors. It's a new scene. They got new players in the game. I got to go with, my mind is telling me Team 2.0 without question. I just want it to be a great match at the end of the day, because I really do think that, you know, this is the unofficial end of an era. I think it will be official once Tommaso Ciampa drops his NXT championship to most likely a Bron Breakker or someone of that sort. But I think that's when NXT will completely, the old Black and Gold will be complete. That's it. But the unofficial finish of NXT demise, if you will be this win when Team 2.0, in my estimation, and it will be my pick, I think Team 2.0 gets the victory because they are the future in Vince and company's eyes. Again, Carmelo Hayes is already the North American champion. Bron Breakker, probably the soon-to-be next man up for the NXT championship, although he didn't win last month against Ciampa. It's a pretty good bout, and he's got the look. He absolutely has the look, the physique. He's getting there. Again, he's not quite there as far as skill set, but that will just come with time. But Grayson Waller, he's all right. Great wrestler. He opened up the show, I believe, this past week or the week before that against Tommaso Ciampa, putting on a hell of a match. So I do like Waller, but I really do like Tony D'Angelo. I think he's a piece of work. I really like his promos. I like his personality, his swagger. So, you know, this Team 2.0 has a lot of bright spots. Don't get me wrong, but I really just love throughout the years, the DIY, Ciampa and Gargano and Pete Dunne, the Bruiserweight, and LA Knight, although he's only been with the company a little bit over a year, I think, maybe a little over under a year he's been with NXT. I love LA Knight's work. Initially, I was never a big Eli Drake fan in Impact when I would tune in from time to time. Never really was, but really getting to appreciate this guy on NXT. I loved the feud that he had for months with the whole $1 million championship, with Ted DiBiase involved, with Cameron Grimes. That was great. And that's when I really started to appreciate and follow week after week LA Knight and his work. And he's ready for the main event scene. And I'm not just talking about NXT. He could be on a Raw or a SmackDown and be hanging with the best of them. He could go up against Sheamus next week or Cesaro next week. You know, I'd love to see feuds like that because the man is ready. He's got the look. He's got the acumen. And he's certainly got the mic skills. His mic skills are great. So LA Knight is just the perfect, well-rounded guy. I don't know what the future may hold for him either. I don't know where he fits into the – he's kind of that in-between because, you know, again, Ciampa, Gargano, and Dunn, they had their time in the sun and the spotlight of the NXT Black and Gold. And, yeah, LA Knight got a little glimpse of it against the Cameron Grimes winning the $1 million championship, having that spot with Ted DiBiase and company, and he was just getting started, and now it's almost like he's in limbo. I don't know what they're necessarily going to do with him now that there's a new sheriff in town with Vince and company, no longer Triple H running things. We've seen Scotty Too Hotty has put in his walking papers 2 weeks ago, leaving NXT. Just not the same. Beth Phoenix, after War Games tonight, I believe she's leaving commentary for good. And they all have their reasons as to why they said they're leaving. But I think when it's all said and done, we know that they know that it ain't the same. It ain't the Black and Gold family that Triple H did such a superb job of keeping everybody happy. And, you know, you could just tell. I mean, us fans, we're not there. Right. We're not there in ring, backstage, at meetings, all these different times spent. We're not there for that. But you could just read and feel the vibe and see where things are. And I mean, my goodness, this past year alone, in 2021, not just NXT, but Raw, SmackDown, all the cuts, releases, firings, whatever you want to call them, budget cuts, they say it's for. the morale is not where it needs to be right now. You know, champion or not, being booked week in, week out or not, it's not where it needs to be. And people are starting to notice that, people that are part of NXT specifically, and they're finding ways to get the hell out of there because it's not what it once was. And although they brought in a lot of young stars, as I mentioned, the guys on this team, the Breakers, the Hayes, Wallers, the Angelos, plenty of other women, you know, the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions and Cora Jade. I'm really looking forward to seeing her. But it's not even about that. I have nothing against them. It's just this whole new look of NXT and what they're trying to make it. It's starting to feel like Raw, starting to feel like SmackDown. And it's just, it's not good. NXT was different, right? It was developmental. It was something different. Now it's just another wrestling show brought to you by WWE. And there's nothing special about it. And so I just worry about the future of NXT with all that babbling being said. So again, run through the picks in 2 seconds. Women's War Games, Toxic Attraction and Dakota Kai. I have in the Hair vs. Hair, Cameron Grimes, NXT Tag Team Championship match. They will retain Imperium. I do have Roderick Strong dropping to Joe Gacy. He will be the new NXT Cruiserweight Champion when all is said and done. And the main event, which will, I think most likely will be the main event of the night, the Men's War Games match, I do have Team 2.0 defeating Team Black and Gold. And believe you me, I will not shed a tear if I am wrong about this. Because I will be cheering loud and proud for Team Black and Gold. But again, Team 2.0 just seems like it's going to be their night. And not only their night, it just seems like it's their time now. Out with the old, in with the new, as they would say, right? So, folks, that is my NXT War Games preview and predictions episode. I hope you enjoy NXT War Games tonight. You know, to be honest with you, I was surprised they actually went forth and still did the War Games this year as soon as NXT 2.0 debuted. Up until a few weeks ago, we didn't hear much about War Games, as far as I'm concerned. And I thought they were going to completely scrap it. So for what it's worth, I am glad to see that we are having a fifth edition of NXT's War Games. Who knows? This may be the very last time we see them do a War Games. They may scrap it completely going into 2022. Who really knows where their vision is, not only with NXT, just with the company in general. You know, there's just so much uncertainty swirling around WWE that, you know, never mind the state of NXT this time next year. Who knows the state of WWE in general next year? You know, it's not just an NXT or an NXT UK or a 205 Live or a Raw or a SmackDown or a Main Event or a Superstars or all these different shows they got. Who knows what's going to really happen, big or small, with the company? So for what it's worth, enjoy War Games tonight. And yeah, I'll be back for an episode, the post show. And we'll see how I fared. Again, if I go 0-5, that's okay too, because there's a good chance that more than half of those losses, I really wanted the other team or other person anyway. Again, I had to go with my head over my heart in a lot of these because it just makes sense in the big picture. In the big scheme of things, I just feel as if they're going with the youth movement, the new people that they're building from the ground up, so to speak, from an NXT 2.0 opposed to the Black and Gold version. Seems they're erasing anything that was of Triple H, not just on NXT itself, but literally, if they even were lucky or fortunate enough to make it to a Raw or SmackDown, Keith Lee gone, Karrion Kross gone, Scarlett gone, Tegan Nox gone. I haven't even scratched the surface. Got rid of so much talent. Bronson Reed in NXT gone. Like, it's crazy. It's crazy, but I think what makes sense is seeing the 2.0 people go on and get the victory, and we'll see what happens. So again, folks, thank you for tuning in to the Turnbuckle Topics podcast. This is the NXT War Games preview and predictions episode, and I'll catch you for the NXT War Games review after this show. Enjoy the show, and I'll see you next time. Thanks for listening.
Got a question for Pat? Send him an email at turnbuckletopics@gmail.com. That's turnbuckle, T-O-P-I-X, @gmail.com. Find him on YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook @turnbuckletopics. Thanks for listening to the Turnbuckle Topics podcast. Be sure to subscribe. If you like the show, help others find out about it. Leave us a rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. Join us next time for another episode of Turnbuckle Topics. See you then.